Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Hi, new girl.
Hi.
Do you know anything about A Course in Miracles?
Just a little bit. I started following a lot of stuff on YouTube and stuff online that
cool.
I started listening to.
Yeah. Cool. Welcome to our group. Pretty informal group. You can bring up anything you want. My job is to put it back in the book. We start at 7:15, run to 9. It's a free meeting, but contributions are welcome. We usually have books, and we have reading glasses up there for you. And 9 o'clock, we hold hands, say a few nice words. The beginning of the meeting is often a little meditation, take it or leave it. And what am I forgetting? About it. Oh, you come and go as you please. You know, it's no regular thing. We're working our way through the book, and we'll pick up where we picked up last time. What's your name?
Connie. I was here once before.
Ah, okay.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. Well then, hi. Again. Okay, so here we go in our lives, each of us barreling down our lives year after year after year. Yet another year, right? You know that it's going to be 2015 really soon. No, it's 2016. I forgot. No. 2018. Yeah, that's it. Right? So our lives are barreling by. It's a whole matter of time being this unstoppable flow, like this river, and you're on it. And you can't even slow down by reaching the sides. You know, here you go. Yet another year, right? Off you go in the world of the ego. Yeah. I mean, there's two dimensions here. There's really time and space. Both of them seem out of your control. But those are the easy ones because they're on the outside. What we're working on is the thing that's flowing on the inside. The thoughts that keep flowing through your mind and boxing you into something not absolutely happy and absolutely free. That's the river we're working on with A Course in Miracles. Our goal is not to change the outward world, but to change, go a level closer to the source of what you're experiencing. And it's this river of your thoughts that just keeps flowing. And yet another year has gone by with a load of those thoughts paving your life. We're here with A Course in Miracles. Make no mistake, to make a change. In fact, I think maybe it would be a C word in A Course in Miracles, maybe. We'll call it correction. Oh. Do you need a correction?
Look at me.
And I think that's what I want us to think about for the next couple of minutes. The word tonight is correction. Let's think about that for a few minutes. Because if you're not corrected, you're still going to continue to go the wrong way down the freeway, and you will never get to your destination. All right, you think, let's get a course correction. I seem to have missed my exit. I think you're all here absolutely willing. I think everybody here is willing. Who knows for what exactly you're expecting? Different for everybody, according to your need. However, we've all joined, and there's not a lot of us. We've all joined on some guide, some wisdom that seems to be beyond this world.
Is it all different need, or is it the same need?
I love it. End of the day, same need, isn't it? Course says there's one problem and one solution.
Talk more about that.
Well, there's very simply, of course, in miracles terms, the only thing broken is a lack of love. And it says the way you achieve lack of love, now love is capitalized in my use here, is you substituted a lowercase love, and the way you did that is you made a separation in between you and what's true. So separation is the only problem. We've managed to dedicate our minds to not knowing oneness. And separation is more real than unity in our existence. It's more real. It's proven more often. We behave in a defensive way to keep our separate differences. This is what we do.
We prove it ourselves.
Yes.
We see it.
Yes. See it, remember it, predict it, defend it.
Us and them.
Us and them. But in the world, in order to make separation real, it's got to be not just two, it's got to be many, see? And more each day. So while love is an experience of one, its opposite, fear, is an experience of the absolutely unknown. In fact, if you don't mind my crazy wording, and the way Course in Miracles does it, well, the world would say fear is of the unknown. Guess what? Course in Miracles says, no. You're really afraid that you think you know something that will harm you. You think you know you're in danger. That's where fear really is. See, if you didn't really know, what could you be afraid of? You really believe there's a ghost, there's a problem, there's a coming. You really do. He says that's what we're dealing with, is what you know. And as I've said many times recently, the problem is you know something that's not true. It's just one thing at the bottom of it all. But it has many, many, many faces, because we are very powerful in our making of a separate world with lots of flavors. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no sin in that. But there is an emptiness that cannot be filled here. And if that's the reason I think I'm here, and a lot of you are here, you've been around the block enough times, and your successes in the world and the successes you've seen other people make don't quite make it to what you believed is true. And this book is so far for me is the best book to talk about this one thing that is true. I've been thinking the wrong way all my life. Overwhelming things in the world have been pointing to answers that I just can't believe. I read a lot of these self-help books, and it doesn't get to what I really sense is the source of my discomfort. I need a correction. What's it take for a correction, David? Anything? What's one element of what has to be present for a correction?
I have to be willing to do it.
Willingness.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
I have to make that. Okay.
Yeah.
Constantly being aware of that you have to. It's kind of like the thing you don't quit. You just always putting a little willingness in. And you have to make this effort constant to find that you don't want to quit.
Yeah.
You always got this little thing going on, and that just makes it completely move constantly.
So not only willingness to change,
yeah,
which is huge on its own, but now a vigilance,
yeah,
vigilance.
Don't quit.
Do it! To actually,
and then you have the faith to it, and the faith is like this huge power, because if you don't have the faith, then the ego wants to try and fix it his own way, and he'll just...
You tell me some corrections don't work out?
Yeah. Well, if I allow the ego to get back in.
Yes, they can fail.
And then he'll want, well, I know how to fix this piece.
Yes.
Well, soon, and he's breaking it off, it was hard for me to figure it out, but also realize that he goes over here with something. I want to fix this piece or that piece.
So this is interesting. You can have the correction and it could not work. You can have the truth and it could not work. Miley, what else is required for a correction? What element? Anything?
Contentment.
Contentment? Talk to me.
Well, this caught my eye a few weeks ago in the workbook. Mm. And it was talking about subtler aspects of fear. Mm. It was saying you can think that you're not in fear, but if you're not absolutely content, then there's an element of fear still functioning.
Nice.
And so that really caught my attention.
Nice.
When I go into the feeling of contentment, it's so pervasive. It's, you know, it's like this warmth and acceptance that just kind of rolls out.
Yes, beautiful.
And the frequency that I'm not there is often, and it's saying that if that's not there, there is fear.
Yes.
So then I'm noticing you can roll into contentment and go, wow. And that's different. That's a change.
This
or
is
a correction.
Yes. You know,
correction, more than a change, because it's
that
it's,
you can
it
roll
feels
into
like
contentment.
A station where I know my essence.
Yes.
And knowing my essence means I'm in my capital S self.
Yes.
And then which I'm connected.
Yes.
And then I start navigating and going, don't judge anything. Mm-hmm. Don't judge anyone because you have no clue.
You have the power to do that?
Yeah.
See, that's huge. That you have the power, your mind can take Miley's circumstances and say, I'm going to choose peace instead of this. I'm going for contentment now. I just notice I'm not fully content. I'm going to choose that and experience that now. You've witnessed that? That's the work. You see,
because
that's,
I've been holding for a long time this thing that we were educated, born into the whole mindset of fear, and that's what the Course is about. Mm-hmm. Going from fear to love, going from separation and division, the illusion, into the reality of unity. And not quite sure where I was going.
My point is, it's not enough to have the answer, which Course in Miracles gives page after page after page. You come to these meetings, you're going to hear it. Some people are beyond you, and some people have the promises, and they speak them, and you say, God, I wish I could do that. It's not enough to have the answer. You have to actually somehow arrive at the fact that you can do it. See? Like you described. That's what forgiveness is. You see? We work really hard here to make sure, I do, that people don't try to go straight to forgiveness. What you got to have is a miracle first. Get a little shift in perception. Sounds like you got that. Because you talked about your essence, and you didn't talk about Miley's problems. You talk about your essence, returning back to your true self. If this is part of Course in Miracles, does is it moves you out of the little victim that definitely has problems. You're going to have problems that you don't even know about yet. And it's going to suck. It's going to be more expensive than you thought. Of course, this is the way the world works. How will you find peace among that? How will you find peace among the problems the world will absolutely bring to you? And if it isn't you, it's going to be somebody you love. I guarantee you, your pet, oh no, it's coming, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. I'm here to be able to choose peace instead of that.
But if you're content.
Yes?
Content has a different element for me than peace.
Yes?
It's almost more personal.
Okay, I like it. Good.
You know, it's like...
Good.
If you're content...
Yes? And if you're not content, go for a correction.
Yeah, nothing's disturbing.
And if you're not content,
you're in fear.
Time for a correction. Beautiful. Beautiful. See, that's forgiveness now. You already had your miracle. It's in place. And it cannot be taken from you. The only thing remaining is the practice of forgiveness. To release the fearful thoughts that you know don't belong. I think you said it beautifully. Thank you. Michaeline, what's required? What's around when there's a correction occurring?
What came for me was the undoing part of perception, undoing, actually becoming conscious of the perception. It's becoming aware, the willingness. And if I'm feeling anxiety, kind of touching on what you said, I'm perceiving something. And lately, what I've been experiencing is old stuff like loss, grief, those things that are things that I want to undo, that I consciously know they're not my truth, but I experience them because they're my perception.
Yes, yes. And your personal active
perception.
You're participating in the pain.
Right.
And so when that's evident, you need a correction.
And I choose peace instead of this. I do practice, and it's so insidious, and it does come from nowhere sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I have been working consciously to undo that.
Yes.
Perception. To undo it.
Yes.
And let the truth come in.
Yes. Yes. You know, in A Course in Miracles, it says this is a course in mind training.
Yeah.
And it says the first half of the lessons works with the undoing. Not a doing, an undoing.
Mm.
Why? Because there's blocks in your way. The truth doesn't need to be learned. The truth doesn't need to be learned. The truth is, see? This is one of the beautiful qualities of the truth and how you know it is. Because it is, see? Whether or not you know it, the truth still is. That's a quality of truth. So, if the truth is not present for you, it's because there is a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be undone.
Right.
Unlearned.
Right.
Very good. Beautiful. Kim, what's required? What's around when a correction occurs? What's going on?
Well, it's a desire to be free from myself. Free from the bondage of self.
Nice. Nice.
I gotta have a desire. I gotta recognize that I'm not free.
Yes.
And I would not know to recognize that I'm not free had I not already been free.
That's that little spark that there is this hope, and we're all here, we're all carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
We're all saying, does this answer this pain in my heart that says I could be free and happy, loved and loving all the time? I said all the time. That spark's in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen anything with more authority that says, guess what, it's true. And there's these obvious blocks that you are fully participating in so that you've decided not to be in the presence of that.
Mm-hmm.
I say, pah.
Yes, as soon as you engage in any kind of judgment, you're not free anymore.
You're not free anymore.
So true. Mm-hmm. Which is challenging.
Yes.
In this world.
You know the very front of the book? It says, this course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that cannot be taught. But what is all embracing can have no opposite.
Mm-hmm.
All embracing means that there's no judgment. All embracing means it is pervasive. All embracing means what you formerly called good and bad are seen from the perspective of one. Judgment would derail it and put it back in separation. You're not free. It's back to us and them. Beautiful. Good. Absolutely. Demand that this work. Julie, what's your correction?
My feeling or thought was really similar to Michaeline's with undoing, but specifically I was thinking of the difference between correction in worldly terms and correction in course terms, and like in both cases, like undoing came to mind, but in worldly terms it's like a really active thing, like I've gotta fix that problem I created or the mess I made. But in here it's letting go of that. Like it's actually as in the Tao Te Ching, Wu Wei Wu, which is doing not doing. Mm. And so that was what was up for me.
Mm-hmm. I need do nothing. Mm. Wu Wei Wu.
Mm-hmm. Wu Wei means no? No way.
It's I don't know, in Chinese bu usually means no, but so I'm not sure, but that's just how it's translated, the translation I've seen. Yeah.
Does it happen to be Wei Wu Wei?
Hmm?
Is it Wei Wu Wei or
I believe so, yeah.
Because that's a fantastic author. If you this is guys, you guys anybody read any Wei Wu Wei? The author?
No.
Oh my god. Zen stuff. To the max. Correction. Well, what's in it?
Change in perception. Just today, I had one. And for about the past year, I've been bothered by some neighbors of mine. Mm. Really bothered to the point of blaming the property manager for allowing things to continue. And just today, just like it just dropped on me. Instead of blaming the property manager for what's going on, accusing him of being, not professional, this thought came to me that said that it was his way of telling me I needed to move.
Hmm.
That where I was living was not a long-term resident solution for me.
Hmm.
And now I don't care. I mean, that changed. That one thought.
Ha.
Corrected.
Ha.
And I'm really joyful, and I'm thanking him. I mean, yesterday I was yelling at him.
Yeah.
Today I'm thanking him for performing the service for him.
Wow. That's like surgery happened. Right? Oh my God, one fell swoop, and it's really different.
Yeah, and I don't know where that came from.
Your mind was so locked down and closed in a certain path, and there was pain along that way.
It was just seconds before I was screaming, I was screaming at him, but not, he wasn't here, but I was yelling at him.
Yeah.
And then, like, it was the same thought. Thank you.
Same situation seen differently.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it feels like your eyes are open to another, bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now, what's been bothering me for the past year?
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Connie?
I was thinking attention, because like the thing that needs. I'm focusing on right now is my thoughts are pretty negative. Mm. So I have to constantly pay attention to my thinking to correct them.
Yes.
So it's just paying attention to them as much as I can.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Because there's a momentum going. You see, one of the laws of mind that this book points out, really this whole thing, this is a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. Because it's my mind that's in the way to my spiritual awareness. So the Course generously works with my mind. And negative thoughts, they have a self-fulfilling prophecy, see? If you think negatively, then the body says, what's up, boss? Oh, you want to be afraid? I can do that. And you will feel negative. And when you feel a little more negative, you're going to start to think more negative. And the more you think, you feel, the more you feel, you think, and then your body just answers what it is the king, your mind, has ruled. And down the spiral you go. Of course, because that's, you're free. And, oh thank goodness, if you correct those thoughts and you find some way to go back to contentment, you give yourself permission to feel good instead of bad, you go back up the exact same staircase you just went down. You go back up. And you are the witness to that rising. I call it enlightenment. You're literally getting lighter as you go. Everybody's experienced this. That is enlightenment. Each step you take is more light. And it's to some point, you start to recognize the power of your mind. That's the big miracle. You're not a victim. Your essence is. And your smallness is not. The shadows, see, they're not real. The shadow is quintessentially, it's the absence of the light that makes the shadow. No light, no shadow.
Another way to look at it is, no matter what bad thing can happen, there's always some good that will come of it. Mm-hmm. No matter what it is.
Yes, and the good surrounding it. Mm-hmm. The light surrounding the pole, see, and if you look hard enough, you can see a shadow thrown by the light. If that's where you're focusing, that's what you'll see. Of course, in miracles, we can back up a little bit, like you beautifully described. Back up a little bit and see the light surrounding the shadow and say, I'm going for the light instead. And you will get the results of that in your own mind, in the exact same place where the negative thoughts were happening and where they were costing you. In the exact same place and to the exact measure that you shine light on it, will you receive a light feeling. And then a light truth. And then the more you think light, the less you will feel fear. The less you will feel fear, the more light you will see. The more light you will see, the less fear you will feel. And up you go.
Up the slope, baby.
Right? Yes. 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 It's the power of your mind. And it's all over this book. Good. Thank you. Mark, what's up with correction?
Yeah, what I have been experiencing lately is that, you know, when I have some sort of fear-based thoughts, you know, I have thought that I perceive as like a threat. Mm. Or it's a fear, but then when I dig deeper, it's a fear because it's a threat. Mm. And so my mind responds to that threat with a thought.
Yes.
And then, but then if I can identify that feeling, mm-hmm. you know, the tightness, like the tendency to want to protect myself, to mm-hmm. want to be defensive, you know, and it can be, judging somebody else is the same thing, really. Mm-hmm. The real thing that I've been learning to do is to just, like, see it and not do anything with it, like, allow it to be there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then... The more I can do that, and like that requires sometimes, really, it's very uncomfortable because sometimes those fear or the threat is, it's like unbearable because it's like you can't your mind doesn't want to be with it, mm-hmm. you want to escape from it, mm-hmm. so that has you try and do something to get you out of that situation, but if you don't do that. And you just stick with it, like riding a bucking bronco. You stick with it. You just mm-hmm. stick with it. Stay on top of it. Let it ride it out. It goes away. And then on the other side of that is, you know, a miracle. Because then you start to see that other things are possible besides mm-hmm. those fears.
So the fear beautiful. Burns itself out.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, you know, and this is something very new for me, but I've been able to to do it, it's like very visceral to me. I can like feel it. Mm-hmm. I can identify it, and then I can just say to myself, okay, just leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Leave it be.
Mm-hmm. So powerful to hear, Mark. Thank you.
Yeah, I try to be in gratitude about those feelings that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they will dissipate pretty quickly when I'm in gratitude about them, because I know they're there for a very specific reason. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't like it.
Yeah, because those are the opportunity. If you can stay with it and not turn away from it, not try and do something about it, then that's the opening.
That's my area of judgment. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's when I start to judge. Mm-hmm. That's where I have to catch judging. This isn't right. This is wrong. This is this. This is that. It's even before the idea of fixing or changing it. It's like, this isn't right. I don't like this. This isn't right. You know?
Yeah, but the judgment is trying to fix it.
But I really get the writing it out, because it's really true. Feeling it. That's just a new thing for me. Just feeling it.
Yeah, right.
Not labeling it. Yeah. Just feeling it.
Yeah.
Like if I'm feeling sad, don't label sad. Just feel what is being presented in my body.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
And I'm just acknowledging that.
Yeah, I try not to be afraid of the fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't run from it, as you beautifully described, it begins in that moment to become smaller. Mm-hmm. If you don't run from it, and if you don't believe it has all this mysterious power.
The power.
Yeah.
Suddenly and immediately, it starts to get smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had that experience too, Mark, and it's very empowering to be able to like do that and continue to do that. I feel like for me recently, I was really emotionally upset by something too, and somebody else actually caused me to pause, like invited me to pause and actually sit with and feel the feeling. And so I did that, and it was as you said, the miracle comes. I mean, I went from just both frustrated, sad, and kind of in grief to like literally feeling like the safety of truth, of like who I really am, you know, just completely at peace, and then inviting that same peace for the other people I was involved in this situation with. It was like my true self showed up, and then I sort of could see and invite that in others in the situation. It was just really powerful. So what struck me by what you said is that sort of the immediacy with which the opening is there. The problem and the solution are in this exact same place. And I just really resonated.
What I heard is this willingness to surrender. Mm-hmm. Because if we're feeling fear, it's already here. Mm-hmm. All of the stinking thinking and all of the whatever that builds up, it's already happened. So the best way to handle it is to get out of denial. That's why I say, for people to try to jump to forgiveness without having some kind of correction first. Mm-hmm. It's really a lie. Mm. It's an uphill battle, and it's just going to come back, and you won't believe it.
Yeah.
So the way out is through.
Yeah. I actually remember the moment where I realized that I was sitting there watching TV with Masako, and in the back of my mind I was having like this, there was this issue, like, And I couldn't figure out what the answer was to it. And I'm thinking about it. Okay, what should I do? And then it just struck me. I don't need to do anything about it. I just need to be with that feeling, like that awful feeling that's bothering me, that's really bugging me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just need to let it be there and not do anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did. And then it was like almost like, you know, like euphoric. Like,
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't need to do anything about this.
Yes. Can you be content? See, contentment, Miley beautifully brought up. Can you go back to contentment, even though there's this fear operating?
Yeah, right.
And that arrests the mystery of how big it is, how powerful it is, that you're a victim and you have to do something. Just go to contentment, even for a moment.
That's my experience when I meditate. It's like when I can sink into that space where I'm just like, can let everything kind of melt away. That's a sense of contentment. Mm-hmm. Like a sense of just like everything's okay just the way it is.
Yes.
I don't need to do anything about anything.
Yes.
And I just, you know, just enjoy the moment. Enjoy the bliss, you know, of the moment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what happens, this is why meditation is so popular, the people who get it and can do this, is you break the cycle. You simply break the self-fulfilling cycle of guilt and fear or worry or busy or monkey mind. We described a couple of times tonight. If you think something's fearful, then you're going to feel fear. When you feel fear, you'll think fear. When you think fear, you'll feel more fear, and then the cycle bigger and bigger.
Kind of depressing.
It's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Meditation is simply stop that.
Oh, that's the best argument for meditation I've ever heard.
You know,
Jove.
It works. Try it, you'll like it.
It's the alternative.
Yeah, it's the alternative. Yes, 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 yes. And like I often say, if you try it just for a minute, that's all you're trying to achieve. One true moment of peace. We take a breath of contentment. One true breath of contentment. I like to call it the rare spiritual air. You know, when you breathe the truth, try it. Sit down. If it's your first time, it's going to take some time. It may not take much time at all, because it's the truth and it's simple. Try it and go to the simplicity of nothing. You see, if you actually get to nothing just for one moment, there is no problem. There's no needed solution either. There's just simplicity. And you go, oh my God. And that's always present.
It's the like power this of now.
Power of now.
Might that even pave the way towards the holy instant?
Amen, brother. Yes. And if it doesn't work, your misery will be instantly refunded. Guarantee.
Hopefully not
100%. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. It always works. Like it always works.
With interest.
Yeah,
really. Maybe.
Jeff, what do you got for when a correction comes about? What's required for correction to occur? What's involved in a
so
correction?
Many great thoughts tonight percolating around here.
Mm-hmm.
Steal from those you want.
Yeah, well, my take's a little bit different, and I don't know if it really fits exactly, but I guess I'm just a real practical, pragmatic person. You know, like, I need, for me, a correction follows a path, follows having a plan, follows having, like, it's a lot about release, it's a lot about letting go, it's a lot about just acceptance, and I get all that. I feel like I've been able to do some of that and continue to work on that. And the meditation has been, you know, a real gift for breaking that cycle and giving you a reset. But then it always comes back to, you know, just not really sure what I should be putting my energy into and where I should focus my attention and, you know, kind of a lack of a path. Because I've found over my lifetime, at least, that when I've had a path, whether it be, you know, a work path or a family situation or some travel adventure or some romance or something, I'm blissed out most of the time. You'll see me go away from these meetings for years on end because I'm found another path to bliss, and it's like I'm just riding it and enjoying it, and I'm not feeling anxiety, not feeling lost, not feeling confused. But when those things aren't in place, so for me, a correction is falling into your bliss and figuring out how to follow it and then following it, as opposed to just waiting for something to come find you, you know, I guess. I mean, if you can snap your fingers and be in bliss, God bless you, you know, that's...
You know, this is one of the great things about the holy instant, John pointed out. And I found that there are so many flavors of discontentment, so many problems that can be fearful or uncomfortable. But there's only one holy instant. And when I found myself going in meditation or doing my Course in Miracles or whatever brings me back to contentment, back to peace, it is exactly the same. And it's absolutely wonderful. And it's very still and it's very free. And I feel re-empowered all of a sudden in the exact same way. That's what taught me that there isn't anything out there that will satisfy me. That's why I'm here. And that's why I continue to follow this particular book, because it keeps going deeper in that specific direction inside. No matter where I go or what I do, there is this light that I can expose. I can turn it on myself.
I get glimmers of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you're right. It's just, I've just been trained to seek and find.
Yes, seek for sure. I don't know, I'll find. Wendy, can you think of something? Is it when a correction is time for a correction, or when a correction is occurring? Is there some word or phrase that pops in your mind?
One thing, just as soon as you ask that question, just right through me, the word forgiveness.
Nice. Yeah.
It's just like, just clear and loud, and forgiveness.
Absolutely. You know what? It came up over here with the need to, really the need to make a change. So forgiveness is a release of the old way. A little willingness. Forgiveness definitely requires the willingness to stop doing everything you were doing before that was now known to be incorrect or too dark. Just too unhappy. And I want another way. Well, then you gotta stop doing the things that you know are unhappy. For starters. Stop that. And with this book, we got all sorts of ways to do that. All sorts of alternatives. Beautiful, powerful thoughts to put in our mind. In our mind or on our lips. So that we can release and we can forgive. Which is, in the Course in Miracles now, be sure that you get this. Forgiveness is always of yourself.
Ultimately
and always. The world says you forgive something outside for hurting you. And the book specifically chooses that word because what we're doing is we're doing 180 degrees, bringing it back to source. This is how you will go home into the hands of God. God is not out there. Thank God. That's a long journey just to even get out of the Earth's gravitational pull. Are you ever going to get there? No. In is where that peace is and to be found. Good. Forgiveness.
Speaking of this Earth.
Yes.
My correction answer.
Yes.
A response.
Yes, please.
Well, as an analogy, this world can be seen as a department of corrections.
Yeah.
And we're all here, imprisoned here until we get it.
Everybody else is a correctional officer.
And to further the analogy.
That's great.
That's good. But to further the analogy, when we die, we're on a certain kind of parole.
Mm.
You see, and if we haven't perfected our freedom from this earth for whatever reason, then we're going to come back and learn more about how to do that until we're finally freed from this earth with all the knowledge that is relevant to everything everyone has said tonight.
Beautifully said. I like it. I like that analogy. Yes. Work your way to parole. That means good behavior.
Freedom, not parole. Freedom.
Yeah. Parole before freedom?
Yeah, necessarily.
Yeah, with good behavior.
Thank you.
Thanks, John. Great. Yeah. Correction. Everybody turn to tonight's reading, page 404 in the text, chapter 19, which is called The Attainment of Peace.
404?
404.
Different marker.
And
sorry.
A section called The Unreality of Sin. And we're on paragraph 5. David?
In time, the Holy Spirit clearly sees the Son of God can make mistakes. Now this you share his vision, yet you do not share his recognition of the difference between time and eternity. And when correction is completed, time is eternity. The Holy Spirit can teach you how to look on time differently and see beyond it, but not while you believe in sin. In error, yes, for this can be corrected by the mind. But sin is the belief that your perception is unchangeable, and that the mind must accept as true what it is told through it. If it does not obey, the mind is judged insane. The only power that could change perception is thus kept impotent, held to the body by the fear of changed perception, which its teacher, who is one with it, would bring.
Okay, so we're going back to the source of change now. Seek no further than your thoughts. I like to, that's another way I call it. What's Course in Miracles? It's a book on how to seek no further than your own thoughts. I like it. I think it's really good news that you are the problem and you're the answer. You need no favors from God. You can stop praying now, because all your prayers are instantly answered by your own wishes to be free of the small S self and embrace the big S self and start being content with that no matter what you're thinking or feeling. Just an example, one of my favorite places where it talks about this is turn to page 410, I think, in the workbook. I can't believe it's been so long since we've been here. Wow. Did I get it right?
Yep.
Wow. You see all the highlights on that one?
Yep.
You know where we're going.
Yep.
Page 410 in the workbook, and it's lesson 236.
We've looked at this one.
We've looked at this before. I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. Boy Scout, will you read that for us?
Mm-hmm.
Whole thing.
I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. I have a kingdom I must rule. At times, it does not seem I am its king at all. It seems to triumph over me and tell me what to think and what to do and feel. And yet, it has been given me to serve whatever purpose I perceive in it. My mind can only serve. Today, I give its service to the Holy Spirit to employ as He sees fit. I thus direct my mind, which I alone can rule. And thus I set it free to do the will of God.
Go ahead,
Father. My mind is open to your thoughts and closed today to every thought but yours. I rule my mind and offer it to you. Accept my gift, for it is yours to me.
So you rule your mind, and you are not a victim at all. Even in your own correction, you rule your. You turn it over to thoughts that you want to think with God. It's because you so choose.
I don't know. You know, everything I read so much about symbols. Everything is a symbol of something.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but every single time I read this,
yes,
I think about the story. There's a monster. The monsters in my closet. You know, with the character. Oh. I'm sorry. Anybody read that book?
Yeah.
Monster. There's a monster in my closet with the characters, with the kid, kid, and and there's monsters in his closet, and he is wearing a king's hat, and he rules his world. But at night, the monsters come out, and they scare him. Yeah. But anyway, sorry. It just every single time I read that, I read it almost like that fairy tale.
That's right. The kid, and he has that.
He has
a crown
on his head. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been 30 years.
But there's a monster in my closet. Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good, it's a children's book, obviously, but yeah.
It sounds like there's a calling for you to reconcile that story and what A Course in Miracles is teaching.
Could be.
If there's any conflict
at all. There's a lot of monsters in all of our closets, really.
Yeah. Dig in where the monsters come from. Course talks about them as shadow figures.
Mm-hmm.
Simple note of wisdom in a monstrous world. Mm-hmm. Bearing children.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we all have monsters. We all have demons. We all have to face them.
We all have fears.
Yeah.
All of us have fears, 100%.
Yeah.
And the fears come like shadow figures to haunt you, and they seem to go wherever you go. And if you can deny them for a while, good for you. But if you believe in their power, they will come back because you have installed them and given them a job. You are its king. You are the king of the monsters as well. Those are your monsters in your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you simply hide them in the closet.
Mm-hmm. So the key is to not give them power.
Yes, amen. Yes.
And not doing anything about the fears,
yes,
which are the monsters, not acting on them, not thinking about them, not obsessing about them, not thinking that there's something wrong.
What you resist, persist, right?
Well, eventually the kid becomes friends with all the monsters.
Oh,
okay.
So they're no longer scary monsters hiding in the closet. They sit on the bed with them and they all play together. I mean, it's a good book.
Do you see the movie Monsters, Inc.? The big
it's kind of
Pixar.
Yeah, it's kind of sort of, but...
Yeah. Indeed. The Course says that the way to stop your ego is to stop paying attention to it.
Yeah. I think so.
And there's some, I don't know, Native American story or somewhere, the story went around for a while, that the wolves keep coming to your door as long as you feed them. They'll come more. And they'll tell their friends to come get to your door to get more food. Stop feeding them, they go away.
Yeah.
It really is just like that.
Yeah. It is.
Yes. I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. I have a kingdom I must rule, period. This is very personal, very practical, and this is exactly how it is. You've been living this your entire life. Now, at times, it doesn't seem that I'm its king at all. It seems to triumph over me and tell me what to think and what to do and feel. And yet, it's been given me to serve whatever purpose I perceive in it. My mind can only serve. So if there's going to be a correction, where is it going to occur?
Who do you serve?
There's another lesson which I have to be on today.
Yeah?
It's, myself as ruler of the universe.
Yeah, 253. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
If we can turn there. It's totally appropriate. Everybody turn to, what page is it?
It's on page 421.
421. Read it for us, John.
Myself as ruler of the universe. It is impossible that anything should come to me unbidden by myself. Even in this world, it is I who rule my destiny. What happens is what I desire. What does not occur is what I do not want to happen. This must I accept, for thus I am led past the world, past this world to my creations, children of my will, in heaven, where my holy self abides with them and him who has created me. You are the self whom you created, Son. Created like yourself and one whom you...
Well, you got to reread that very carefully.
I know.
It's really powerful phrasing. Go ahead, start again with, you are...
You are the self whom you created, Son, creating like yourself and one with you. Myself which rules the universe, is but your will in perfect union with my own, which can but offer glad assent to yours, that it may be extended to itself.
So I hope some of you are shaking your head and saying, "How? What? You are the self of you. What is this trying to say?" And yet, you're feeling something, right? You're feeling something in this lesson. You love it. Check out the circle that's being described in this paragraph. It says, you are...
getting that same feeling.
Right?
We're going up.
Yes! Amen, brother. You are the capital S self, capital H whom, you, capital Y-O-U, created, capital S Son. Do you see the circle?
I don't get it.
You are the true self whom you, the only creator that creates, the creative thought is love. It's the only thing that creates. And the Course beautifully describes the acts of God are extension. So it's self-same. There isn't actually Father and then separately in the next door over, one mailbox down, the Son.
It's the function of oneness.
It's the oneness. Is being illustrated here, and I think kind of like a celebration, you know, it's a prayer of understanding. Look, the book uses lots of words, and it does use Father and Son and Holy Spirit and Brother and all that, but there are a couple of places, like here, when it allows you to swim into a meditation of oneness.
It's like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit and oneness.
You want to see where it says it? Actually, it's very specifically. Turn to page 519.
In the text,
519. And you can see where he actually just lays it out. The bottom of the page, I'm pretty sure. Look at that. On 519, paragraph 5. Miley, I think you're up to that.
Since you believe that you are separate, heaven presents itself to you as separate too. Not that it is in truth, but that the link that has been given you to join the truth may reach to you through what you understand. Father and Son and Holy Spirit are as one, as all your brothers join as one in truth. Christ and his Father never have been separate, and Christ abides within your understanding, in the part of you that shares his Father's will. The Holy Spirit links the other part, the tiny mad desire to be separate, different, and special, to the Christ, to make the oneness clear to what is really one. Can I read that sentence?
Oh, please do.
The Holy Spirit links the other part, the tiny mad desire to be separate, different, and special, to the Christ, to make the oneness clear to what is really one. Okay? In this world, this is not understood, but can be taught.
Yes, in this world, it's not understood that what is this tiny mad desire to be separate, different, and special, that can possibly be linked to oneness. Because the ego is the devotion to the idea of separation. Okay. The devotion to the idea of competition. The devotion to the idea that the truth is you're alone. And you better deal with it. Or suffer more. That's the ego. Holy Spirit is the injection into the dream. The part of your mind is still connected to the truth that says, you know what? I can work with this. I can work with anything. I can speak. I am the voice of God.
But isn't it...
voice
even,
for God.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Isn't it even... it seems like it's saying the Holy Spirit is an aspect that's a little closer to this crazy... separate self,
yes,
than the Christ.
Yes, it is.
The voice with me.
100%.
Yeah.
You want to tell me more? Somebody else want to jump in? Julie, you want to jump in?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I don't know how to articulate it, but it's truly the voice of Christ. I used to think it was the voice of Christ in me, mm-hmm. but it's really the voice of the Holy Spirit, which speaks for God in Christ the Son.
Yes.
Through the Holy Spirit in within the ego, within that whole stuff.
It's what's like, up with this Holy Spirit, Julie?
It's the part of your mind that is still connected to the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't see... that part of ourselves doesn't see the problem. Like, it's aware that we think there's a problem, but...
it sees the problem,
right.
just like
it,
we do,
it just
but it knows it isn't true.
Right. There we go.
Right.
I couldn't think of the words. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
That's
so
right.
it's really the bridge. The bridge we've talked about so many times is the Holy Spirit consciousness.
That's right.
That willingness to have what you think is so true be translated.
So
be translated. Yes.
So in a way, it's playing along with the separation game.
Yes.
it's
yes.
Okay, so...
so is this entire book.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
yes.
not really a game. It just is.
Yes.
It's using symbols that you can understand.
Yes.
Towards enlightenment.
Meets you where you are.
Right. I'm just asking what exactly.
How kind is that? I feel loved. Mm-hmm. Came out of heaven in the clouds where the harp music is playing 24/7 and came down here in the mud where I live with swearing and drinking and troubles and fear and
death
and devils
that's
and the whole
right.
bit. You came into this realm. I think that's pretty gracious and lovely.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're in it.
Yes.
But also, so that I love that imagery. And, like, it's not something external.
Right.
Because there really is only one. So, like, I'm just thinking, for example, mm-hmm. that when I have a holy instant, for me, it's not a new experience. It's actually a remembering. I haven't left. Like, that's still... I'm
oh.
still there. Yeah. It's this is the illusion. So...
Yes.
Now,
the I never left has to touch on what Miley said, which is she said essence, okay? But there's something that actually doesn't have to worry about its problems. Yes, there are problems. Yes, the body's going to deal with it tomorrow. Okay? Yeah, that's, but I'm not that.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow. You can touch that freedom. Your identity has shifted. That's the big miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Your identity has shifted to this other thing, this something else the Course calls it. It's just not so worried because it's not actually touchable by the problems your mind and your brain think are real. And you breathe easy and the holy instant occurs because you breathe so easy.
Which in a way goes back to what you started us with this fifth paragraph in the 19th chapter thing where it was dealing with sin and error.
Yes.
Because it's saying that if you believe in sin, you're stuck.
Yes.
You are frozen into the realm of the illusion of separation.
Yes.
Because sin means that you believe that your essence is bad.
And unforgivable.
Unforgivable. Uncorrectable. Uncorrectable
changeless.
Mistake. Changeless
yes,
mistake has occurred.
Hopeless.
Hopeless now, because it can't be corrected. And worse, it's probably deserved.
So I might as well just
go with it.
Go with it and just
give up.
Give up.
And be alone. And disconnect.
Well, and then usually it's the cycle is instantaneous, right? Because then you feel guilty for going there and like and because you should be spiritually more aware, and yeah. it's just like,
and then you, and then yeah,
you're validating sin,
and you descend into hell,
and then
sickness.
You judge yourself for judging.
Uh-huh. We also remember the ego side of us, as much as we remember the where the home side of us.
And you know, that's a hard thing to get to when you don't believe in the word sin. To realize that you can have that belief, even though you don't believe in sin, because you weren't religiously trained with the word sin, and so it's like a foreign thing. And then to find, but you can still have the belief that there is this inalienable wrongness to self, and like you've done things that prove it, kind of. You have to anchor it.
There's an attraction to guilt.
And
it's actually attractive to be able to call yourself guilty and say you don't deserve to be happy. The ego loves it, and you can drown in it, but it is a descent into your own personal private hell if you do it. But it's,
well, that's why this is, to me, is so valuable, because it's saying it changes that being irrevocably wrong for being to just having made mistakes.
And then applying
that to everybody else.
That's right. That's right.
But no mistake was ever made.
That's right. Yeah, namaste was no mistake, actually. Absolutely. There is no sin.
There's no sin.
Of course, there's over and over. It knows you don't believe it, because it knows you're drunk on separation, guilt, fear, all that stuff. It just uses the word sin to corral it up into the only mistake there is, separation. The belief in separation and the evidence of separation. Yeah. Every day with each of your thoughts is the one mistake. No matter how many times you think of it, it's still one. Based on one. One. Yeah, good. Well, check out the next paragraph.
Where are we?
We are on page 520, paragraph 6.
Well, you've got the Holy Spirit.
It starts with the Holy Spirit. Michaelina, you up to bat?
I am. 520, paragraph 6.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit serves Christ's purpose in your mind, so that the aim of specialness can be corrected where the error lies.
Whoa! Yes! Meeting you right where you are.
Because his purpose is still one with both the Father and the Son, he knows the will of God and what you really will. But this is understood by mind perceived as one, aware that it is one, and so experienced. It is the Holy Spirit's function to teach you how this oneness is experienced, what you must do that it can be experienced, and where you should go to do it.
And then please read one more sentence. Actually, forget that, because we can stick with this for the moment. It's the Holy Spirit's function to teach you how this oneness is experienced, comma, what you must do that it can be experienced, comma, and where you should go to do it. God, that sounds really specific. That sounds like there's a boot camp or something. That sounds like, you know, we really have to...
That's like that thing. Where do I go? What do I do?
Yes.
What do I say to whom? Mm-hmm.
Yes, maybe several times, yes.
Okay, so what's the answer to that?
Well, it's hidden in the 1,300 pages, but it's there in one short sentence. You just have to weed through all this crap until you get to the one answer.
I struggle a lot with this, where it says he knows the will of God and what you really will, because I hear that my will and God's will are actually the same will.
Right? Yes, yes.
But as soon as I think of something that I think would be my will, now that's ego, but I don't know how to trust what is my will.
Okay,
what
everything
does that mean?
Everything that you can think of as Kim and possibly question is a wish.
Okay.
It may be very nice. I mean, good for you. Really sweet.
Kim.
Kim is so sweet sometimes. Look how nice she's being to herself. A will is known.
No.
And it's already in place, needs no maintenance, needs no rehearsing, needs no reminders.
Okay.
Okay? So you may play with wishes here as long as you like. Go into meditation, go into contentment, go in with your Holy Spirit and say, let my will be done. Actually, my deal is being done. Know that it's being done. And that way you can sidestep all of the work it would take to analyze and understand and think.
So when I am in that place of contentment and I have no judgment, I am in God's will.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In the holy instant.
Filtering it through your belief system.
Peace.
Yes.
What do you experience when you paint?
When I paint, it's almost like, oh God, we had such a discussion on this a few nights ago, but I'm almost in a state of meditation because I'm blank. Mm-hmm. I'm just painting.
You're a vehicle for,
you know.
Painting what? Yeah. What are you painting?
Color. I don't always know what I'm painting. I just am painting, and but my mind is blank as far as thoughts go. I'll often have music going on or something, but there's almost nothing there.
Yeah, I'm a sculptor, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It becomes so clear the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing.
Well,
it's
I just think that, you know, the creative animal is very close to what your true nature is, what your, you know, what this is talking about.
Yeah, so free.
You know,
yeah.
Because you're painting something that's inside you that you can't put your finger on.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, it has doesn't have to do with ego. In fact, if you go into your ego, you can't be creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
No, it doesn't come out.
Right.
I know when I'm in my ego. Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't.
When you're trying.
It doesn't work.
I usually have to paint over it.
Yeah, when the trying occurs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Nice. Yeah. Probably same with music. I wish I was a musician sometimes.
It's true.
God.
It's true in my case.
Yeah, you're a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's if I want to do it because I want to be a rock star, it's just going to be, it's not representative of my spirit, music, spirit I can do for music. But when I'm just going to go on after beauty,
yeah,
no problem.
Yeah.
That's it. If I go into something thinking, well, if I paint some amazing painting, it'll sell. I'll make a bunch of money. It never comes out.
Yeah.
It has to just be something that flows.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Okay. Let's look a little more at 236 because we're talking about where correction occurs, how correction occurs, what correction would occur.
Is that in the workbook?
In the workbook on page 410.
Okay.
And,
the workbook?
Oh. In the workbook. Okay. Okay, so I have a kingdom that I must rule. At times it doesn't seem it's that way. And yet, it's given me to serve whatever purpose. My mind can only serve today, crack my knuckles. I give my minds a service to the Holy Spirit. To employ as the Holy Spirit sees fit, which we just read about, is going to put Christ to work. Still connected. Connect you to the Christ. Your stinking little tiny separate alone part belief system, you can turn over your mind. It's holding on to all these separate thoughts. Turn it over back to oneness. Through the bridge, the sanity the Holy Spirit brings. What's it look like? What's it look like? Turn to 20 pages in the to the right to page 428 in the workbook. And look how beautiful this work, this surrender, can be as you allow the correction. You know, I don't know if this... Try this simple analogy. Take a kettle of cold water and you put it on the stove. Stove's hot, right? The Holy Spirit is hot. The truth is hot. Flames are hot. But the water is cold in that kettle. Even though it's in the presence of the correction, let's say hot water is the goal for your tea, the water is still cold. Even the pot is still cold. But the flame is hot. Right place, right time. Now we leave it there. We keep it exposed to the flame. You keep your mind open to the Holy Spirit's direction. You do your lesson all through the day. The same stinking lesson you can't even remember. Mm-hmm. Just do it again, please. And then again, and again, and again, and again. It's doing the lessons that will demonstrate their power. Mm-hmm. And let you know that they work. I said, know that they work. You leave the kettle on the stove. Just trust that the heat will work its way through that cold cast pot into that cold water. And trust that the result will transfer and somehow it will all work. It's by leaving the kettle on the stove and trusting through those moments that you will observe the heat transfer and the water receive the energy. And become hot, just like your mind will become free. If you go still in the middle of trouble and experience your contentment, despite all the problems that are illustrated, you say, ah, and the holy instant is yours, known to be more true and desirable than all of the unholy instants that led you there. Put the kettle on the heat and just trust it.
I like that.
Yeah. Read, who's up next? I think Kim? Yeah. Read for us lesson 265. What's this like to surrender a little bit? Go ahead.
Creation's gentleness is all I see. I have indeed misunderstood the world because I laid my sins on it and saw them looking back at me. How fierce they seemed. And how deceived was I to think that what I feared was in the world instead of in my mind alone. Today I see the world in the celestial gentleness with which creation shines. There is no fear in it. Let no appearance of my sins obscure the light of heaven shining on the world. What is reflected there is in God's mind. The images I see reflect my thoughts, yet is my mind at one with God, with God's, and so I can perceive creation's gentleness. In quiet would I look upon the world, which but reflects your thoughts and mine as well. Let me remember that they are the same, and I will see creation's gentleness.
Your vision. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's turn back to tonight's reading now. And all the way back on page 404. Okay. It's so easy to get distracted with all this great material. In time, this is paragraph 5. The Holy Spirit clearly sees the Son of God can make mistakes. The Son of God can make mistakes. On this, you share his vision. Yet you do not share his recognition of the difference between time and eternity. And when correction is completed, time is eternity. Now we're on page 405, Wendy. The Holy Spirit can teach you, lowercase y-o-u, right where you are as you see yourself. You don't have to go to, I'm already enlightened, I just forgot it. I just somehow, I'm already enlightened and everything's perfect. Let me just do another om and I'll be there. Mm-hmm. You could actually put the kettle on the fire with the cold water in it. This is your mind. Drunk on separation. Your ego-filled mind that you trust and believe so much. Bring it to the altar. Bring it to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Bring it to the Course in Miracles and say, I want to see how this can be peaceful. Bring it. Bring it. The Holy Spirit can teach you how to look on this, on time differently. And ready? Another one of my favorite spiritual words. And see beyond time. Mm-hmm. Beyond is my favorite spiritual path and journey words. Mm-hmm. See beyond time. Now that I would recommend you take, if you that hits you, you take that into meditation and say, Holy Spirit, show me beyond time. I have no idea what you're talking about. And then you go into stillness and contentment, and it won't be words and it won't be pictures. It will be a knowing. It will be a holy instant, because truth is beyond time and you are of truth. You just have to be willing to walk the bridge away from separate, away from time, where you're absolutely limited. Time and space are the prison bars. Mm-hmm. And be willing to step out of that. You need a guide to do it. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. And that's this willingness we're talking about. You would have to be willing for a correction, which means a change. You would have to be inviting, even, that a change would be made in your mind. That you rule. Okay? Holy Spirit can do that. Can teach you how to look on time differently and see beyond time, but not while you believe in sin. Record scratch. Full stop. Wait a minute. You see the word but, of course, a miracle, anything. When anybody says but, you can forget everything they just said.
Yeah.
It's time to sit up and listen. Well, we can do all these beautiful, wonderful, pretty things, but not while you believe in sin. That's why Miracle Principle 7, right in the front of the book, is kind of a disclaimer. It's kind of a disclaimer. This shit doesn't work. I've studied Course in Miracles for years and years, and I'm still angry, I'm still mad, my forgiveness is useless. Somebody read Miracle Principle 7 for us as soon as you get there. It's on page 3. Miracles are
everyone's right with.
But did you hear that but? Did you hear that but? Miracles are everyone's right. Record scratch, but... Go ahead.
Purification is necessary first.
Period. End of miracle. Page 3, front of the book. Damn! What's this fine print? Isn't it all, like, guaranteed it's gonna... I'm already enlightened? What about that? I'm sure we can go to some other meeting in Santa Cruz and it will just, you know, be very pretty and you will just find out that you're perfect the way you are. Right? Somewhere in Santa Cruz. That's happening. Alright, you been there? You led that class?
It's on Pacific Avenue.
I taught it for 12 years.
Pacific and SoCal, right here
yes
on the corner.
Just say yes, of course.
On the corner of SoCal.
For argument's sake.
Yeah, for argument's sake.
There are several people that will tell you that you are perfect.
It's really great news. It's so wonderful to hear that. So how's it working for you? How's that perfection working for you? That's what I all want to know. The perfection sucks if that's, yeah. That's why I love Course in Miracles. It says, look, you know what? You need a miracle. If you're not supremely happy and content all the time, you need a miracle. And we got a book full of them. It's time to correct. And then you can be free. That's what we're doing. I love it. I just love this book. So, okay? So, not while you believe in sin, okay? Miracle Principle 7, mm-hmm. Record scratch. Well, that's okay, because purification is what we do. It's the correction. It's the miracle. And then, it's the practice of forgiveness to let go of those habitual thoughts that were so dark. That's enlightenment, to get lighter. And then when you do it, you just relax in it, you get the holy instant. That's the story. That's what we do. Okay? So good. Now we're talking about one of the stains, one of the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is sin, which is the idea of separation. There is no sin, really. The closest thing we can come to is your idea that you're not absolutely 100% God. I didn't say you are God. You are 100% of God. There's no part of you that isn't.
Of God?
God.
Oh, of God.
G-O-D. Which is the essence of G-O-O-D. Mm. That's all. That's all God is. Mm. That's all it is. Essence, meaning completeness. You believe in sin, you believe you're not that. Therefore, you cannot... You can't go. You won't go across the bridge because you say, "Well, this bridge goes nowhere." I'm not crossing. Holy Spirit says, "No, come with me." No. I don't believe in that. I believe in sin. I believe in separation. I don't believe that God loves me. I believe I deserve it. I believe there is a God. There's no truth. There's nothing beyond my body. If you believe that, you believe in sin, which is just separation. It's just a shortcut for separation. You will not cross the bridge because you think it goes nowhere. So what do? You turn around and you go back to your misery.
So to the extent that you believe in sin,
yes.
Well, put it this way, to the extent you do not believe in sin, will the bridge appear?
Yes.
And then you through the clouds and you can walk over it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Only to the extent that you do not believe in sin as you get lighter. Yeah.
This is why the word faith has got a big place in a spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. You do not know. If you knew, you don't need a bridge.
It's not an ego. You know, it's so frustrating is because there is that part of me that does know.
Yes.
I know that with every breath that is in me, I know that. But then there's also this little part of me that I haven't let go of yet, that I may never let go of, I don't know, that thinks, oh, what if it's all not true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It prevents right. you from crossing that bridge. Mm-hmm. It's yes. the fear of the light.
The fear of the light.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you got it.
It's just the ego not wanting to change.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wants to hold on.
Yep.
This sentence is interesting for me. I didn't catch it the first time. But sin is the belief that your perception is unchangeable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh.
And that the mind must accept as true what it is told through it.
You rule your mind, which you alone must rule, and you've been ruling it to say that your sin is unchangeable. You're going to follow what
because
you believe.
Because I think we all have something we've done that we believe is not correctable.
Yes. Yes.
It was so bad, so yes. awful, that we are ruined.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
blown.
Yeah.
You would really need permission not to hang on to that thought.
And we carry it in our bodies.
We carry it.
Yeah. In yes. our bodies, because that's where
sickness
our
comes
ego.
From. That's where sickness comes from.
Yeah.
Straight
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Straight up.
Yeah, the ego's biggest secret, as they call it.
Yeah. It's like
keeps ego alive.
But the uncorrectable mistake.
There's, there's always one thing you can't forgive. If you believe in me and forgive
me.
It's part of what makes the world. It's part of what makes the world feel real.
Yeah. You gotta have something guilty.
You did it on purpose. It was done on purpose and good job. You everybody here deserves congratulations for actually getting yourself into this massive dream of separation. It's just it thought to be impossible. And yet you somehow are living it. Wow. How did you do that? Oh, my God. Forget why you did it. I want to know how. That is crazy.
It all depends on which voice you listen to. It's really easy either way.
We could ask Sybil.
Yeah. See, the author knows, the author's been the whole route. The author knows that you really are in what we call a dream. You know, you go to sleep and then you start seeing things that aren't real. And you live with that for a while. But the dream's not real, and then eventually you awaken back to your truth is you're not whatever you thought you were in the dream. It's just that simple. The author wrote a book from that perspective saying, look, I slept too, then I woke up. You're still sleeping. I'm just going to whisper into your dream.
We're still dreaming right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're just in a different...
We're lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's an improvement. We're lucid dreaming right now. Mm-hmm. Right now we're aware of it. Okay? So let's finish up this paragraph.
Touché.
The Holy Spirit can teach you how to look on time differently and see beyond time, but not while you believe in sin. Well, in error, okay. That's what we're doing right now, tonight, in this class, in this section, last week as well, and the last 4 weeks, we've been undoing this drunken insistence that there are uncorrectable mistakes. No, not true. Big load off. If you can get that. Now everything moves to error. If you're not supremely happy, it's only an error. Yes, for this can be corrected by the mind. There we go, sentence 6. But sin is the belief that your perception is unchangeable and that the mind must accept as true what it's told through it. If it does not obey, the mind is judged insane. See? What that is... is my bumper sticker that I've got on my refrigerator still, which is don't believe everything you think.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I like that. And I've seen that on cars.
Yeah.
And also, you don't have to act on every thought that you have.
You don't have to act on every thought you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who because says it's not do? True.
Right.
So many of them aren't true.
Don't believe anything you think.
Oh my goodness. Yes, see? That's Course in Miracles in a bumper sticker. You know, it's like, and I figured out what ACIM actually stands for. It stands for Alleviate Crap in Mind. That's what we do.
That's perfect.
You cut some relief from it. Some relief, please. And that's what it is. The only power that could change perception is thus kept impotent when you believe that you're blocked. Held to the body by the fear of changed perception, which its teacher, who was one with it, would bring. Whew. That's just listening to the Holy Spirit. Okay, moving my marker.
So how long do those arrow stickers last?
I was just thinking of that! Oh my God! You said it as I...
It depends on how well you treat them. You stick your oily fingers on the sticky part, not
then it won't last very long.
I've learned how to treat them well. So about 2 years.
No. So random. That's fun.
Let's have a circle.
Stretch. Oh, that's your funny.
No. Oh,
Sam
will say, yeah. Woo! All right, all you sinners, take a breath.
Bloody sinners. Know who you are.
Each of you are the worst sinners. You know which ones you are. Take a breath. And know that there is no sin. There are no uncorrectable mistakes for which you need to be punished or somehow held away from peace. Somehow blocked from heaven or goodness? No. But do know this also. Seek no further than your own mind. This is where all your problems have started. It's where all your problems are experienced. And it's also where your happiness is waiting to be experienced in the exact same place. With the exact same power that brought the hell comes to heaven. Mm-hmm. That's the good news. Just be open to some correction. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Nice. Thank you, everybody.
She's not going to come for a while because she started as a I think they're compatible. I think it's all compatible.